I have FOMO. You know what FOMO is, right? Fear of missing out. And I don't know about you, but when I hear a big crowd getting together, when I hear some music or some chatter and a group of people all gathered together doing something, I'm like, what's going on over there? I have a fear of missing out. Anybody else out here? Anybody else have that fear? I have like, oh, what's going on over here? I really want to see what's going on, especially in church world. If other churches are gathering and other people are getting together and there's a great movement, or there's a people singing out loud, or a lot of prayer going on, I want to be there. I have fear of missing out on that blessing. My name is Keith Arcombe, and that's what we're doing the next 4 weeks. Our theme is going to be fear of missing out. And today we're talking about fear of missing out on the power of prayer. All of these sessions are going to be about fear of missing out on things that Christians miss out on, those who decided to follow Jesus, and of course, non-Christians miss out on. I believe those of us who follow Jesus are missing out in certain areas of life where God is really wants to bless us. God wants to bless us in different ways, and there's a missing out. So I'm not going to tell you what the rest of the series is, because I want you to have a fear of missing out on the series. So come next week, the week after that, and the week after that. Make sure you're here, because I don't want you to miss out. I want you to have fear on missing out what the sermon is going to be about. Way back when I first decided to follow Jesus, I had a fear of missing out on where the Holy Spirit was at work. I wanted to be in that place where other people were gathered and other people were seeing God at work. I wanted to be in and amongst where the Holy Spirit was. Back in 1994, there was a little church in Toronto, and at the airfield in Toronto, that God was blessing. And through that blessing, people were falling over, speaking in other utterances, and barking like dogs on some occasions. And this became known as the Toronto Blessing. And I remember it, 1994, and this spread throughout the United States and all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to a little town called Portsmouth in the south of England. And me and my friends wanted to go and see this manifestation of the Holy Spirit and to receive this blessing. Indeed, that was the whole thing of this blessing, that you did not want to miss out on this blessing, what God was doing in and amongst the people. So this particular night, the people who were administering the blessing, were administering this wave of the Spirit, descended upon our town hall in Portsmouth. Myself and some of my new friends that were also following Christ got together and decided to go to this event. We turned up at the event, and there's a lot of people down the front already, it seemed, young people. And they were down the front and ready for this thing to happen. And the gentleman walked out on the stage, not unlike this one. He walked out on the stage and said, "I believe God's going to bless you today." He didn't have a Bible. That's another topic for another day. He didn't have a Bible, but he said, "I believe God's going to bless you today. Who wants to receive the blessing?" "Yeah, me too. We want to be." So people come down the front, and he went like this, whoosh, like this, and everybody like kind of fell over and started speaking and barking and laughing kind of thing and falling over. I was like, this is weird. That's what's going on here? And he invited people down the front. Who wants a blessing? Who wants a blessing from God? Who wants a blessing from God here, by the way? 2, 4 people, maybe. Yeah, I mean, of course, that's why we come to church, right? We want a blessing from God. We want to hear from God. We want to know his care for our lives. And that's what he said. He said, "If you want a blessing from God, come on down the front." Some of my friends went down the front, new friends, and I was kind of like the last one there. And then he said it again, "Come down the front. If you want a blessing from God, come down the front." So finally, through peer pressure and through some FOMO, through some fear of missing out, I went down the front. I came down the front, and a guy turns up to pray for me. I had a t-shirt on. He says, "Oh, you got a scar on your arm. You need healing." He says, lift out your hands like this. Receive the blessing. Get ready for the blessing. Okay, put my hands out like this. And then he started to pray for me, but he put his hand on my front here and his hand on my back and started to like kind of push me over kind of thing. And so I'm standing there like this and I'm like, give him that look that said, bro, what are you doing? What are you pushing me for? I went back to my seat and I remembered a scripture or a prayer that I was taught in my youth that God would never leave me nor forsake me. And I went back to my chair and I knelt down and I recited that to myself. God would never leave me nor forsake me. And there was all this mayhem going around us. And the real Christians were down the front getting prayed for and getting blessed. And I went back to my chair and prayed this, God will never leave you nor forsake you. It's in Hebrews chapter 13. How many of you believe that? God will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, no matter what's going on in the church, no matter what's going on in your family, no matter what's going on in your health, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? And so after that event, God sent me some people who prayed with me and blessed me even more. God, through these people, taught me how to pray daily, taught me how to abide in and through regular daily praying, that God was with me even in that. That in and amongst the normalcy of life, God was there as I prayed. Thankfully, these people were walking with Jesus every day of their life. And there was some of my friends that went down the front that received the blessing that night, but like didn't continue walking with the Lord, that didn't continue on their journey with Christ, that were blessed at that particular moment, but not the rest of their days for whatever they chose to do. And sometimes I still have FOMO. I have FOMO of you know, God's at work in other churches and all the people are going to that church and all the manifestations are going to that church. But I believe that God taught me so much from that event that no matter what has gone on in my life, God has never left me nor forsaken me. But sometimes we have FOMO. What is it that you have FOMO about? What is it that you feel that you are missing out on? Maybe it's something that you've done all your life and somebody else is receiving this and you're not. Maybe it's an event. Maybe it's a blessing that somebody else received and you haven't. Maybe it's a physical. Maybe it's practical. Maybe it's like your actual health. Everybody else's health is fine and yours isn't and you feel like you're missing out on that for some. There's something you're not doing. What is it for you? Whatever that is, I feel that we are probably missing out on the power of prayer. We're missing out on the power of prayer in our daily lives. Not the Toronto blessing kind of prayer, but the prayer that we abide with Jesus on a daily basis. So, how do we do this? How do we continue on in our prayer? Is it just on Sundays? Is it just at special events? James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote a practical note towards the end of our Bible, and that's where we are today to talk about the power of prayer. So James chapter 5 is where we are. You've got your Bibles with you. Go there. If you've got it on your phone, pull it up there. You probably need it as an app on your phone. It's a good place to have one. So James chapter 5, verse 13, is where James instructs and helps us to see how we should pray. Verse 13, I'm going to put it on the screen here for you. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer, offered in faith, will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So there's three main categories here that James talks about. If you are suffering hardships, I'm not going to ask to raise hands for this. Lots of us are suffering hardships. But what should we do if we are suffering hardships? He said you should call the elders of the church. Now, I'm proud to say in this church, we've had a long history of praying for our members, and we have a team that prays for those who have needs. We have a whole like list that goes around all the time of people who are in need of prayer. I'm on it for my trip on Wednesday. I go with my son Max, and different things come up in my family, and somebody asks me when I bump into them at Publix or something, and I can email it, and those people are praying for them regularly. It's a prayer chain. If you've got needs, if you've got your suffering hardships, let us know via that email route. You can email myself or Pastor Kathy. And so asking the elders, those who pray, those who are leaders in prayer at the church, ask for prayer. Don't let it come out on some social media somewhere when I don't know. Tell us first. Let us know if you have hardships. So that's the first category, if you are often suffering and have hardships. The next one, we'll flip to the end one, are you sick? So literally sick. Now, don't come and see me if you're sick and you need healing. You've got something that a doctor can fix, because I'm not a doctor. Go see the doctor, amen? Yeah, don't come see me or Pastor Kathy, because we don't fix people, yeah. But doctors do. And nurses do. And medical professionals help and assist with healing. And that's because Jesus said when the disciples were amazed at what they seen him doing through healing, they said to him, you will see even greater things than these. And those who have been sick, you've had family members who have been sick, and you have seen doctors and nurses and teams come together and heal your relatives, you're amazed, right? Amen? We're excited that we have advances in medical care, and we're excited that we have pharmaceuticals to help us in the healing process when we are sick. But ask for people to pray as well. The NIH, the National Institute of Health, did an in-depth survey, at whether prayer was any help in a medical situation. And they did a test on 999 people, didn't tell them that they were doing the test. And at the end of the test, that came out, the results were that actually prayer helped people get better if you were sick. I also found that out when I read this. Amen? God heals those who ask. If you're sick, see a doctor. If you're sick, ask for prayer. And then the final one is, it's in the middle, but you, if any of you are what? And if you're happy, what should we do? Sing. One person wants to sing over here. Anyone else want to sing? Yeah. Sing. Praise God. Praise God through prayer. And then it says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Such a prayer offered in faith, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Notice when we are seeking God, when we are really wanting to pray, wanting to see God at work, our sins come out. If we are desiring to please God, if we want to know who God is and is it working on, the things that are holding us back, our sins, come out like, oh, I probably should bring that before God. And often we're going back and forth of what sin is or what it is that constitutes a sin. I mean, this is more than just like smoking or drinking or having a bad kind of trial. Sin are things that get right down in the midst of things. Sins, says Richard Rohr, are fixations. Sins are fixations that prevent the energy of life. They prevent God's love flowing freely. They are self-erected blockades that cut us off from God and hence from our own authentic potential. When we're praying, we naturally repent of things that are blocking us from hearing God. Last year, I was looking to hear from God, and I was a little distressed. I was in need of some healing, not physical healing, but my mental healing. I was emotions were a little out of whack, and I went for prayer, not in Toronto, but in Tennessee. And we were at this conference, New Room, that Seedbed puts on. And there was a time of prayer and ministry down the front. And I went down the front for prayer. I met this lady who I'd never met before. She had a red jacket on. All the prayers had red jackets on. And she said, "What can I pray for you for?" I told her a few things. And she was able to like almost prophesy over me and say to me, "God knows you. God knows the work you're doing. And he is so thankful for you." I was crying. I was so thankful for this woman's prayer. I didn't get a Toronto blessing. I got a Tennessee blessing, which was much better. Go to God with your prayers and requests. If you are hurting, if you are sick, if you are joyful, go to God with your prayers. Next up, James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. This is verse 16. So that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Confess your sins to one another. Not just some random person wandering around the parking lot, but somebody who loves you, who knows you, and wants you to continue on your path with God. And what is this for? Why do we confess our sins to one another, to those that we love? It's not so that we can talk about them in the lobby out here. It's not so we can talk about them in the parking lot. It's not so that we can put them on social media for everybody else to see, to make everybody feel bad. What's it for? What does it say? Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Healed. So that when you confess to the other person, and even more so when that person says, "Oh, I'm struggling with that too. I've been through that as well." It's so healing. I understand what you're going through, and I'm sorry. And then we get to that point that says, the prayer of a righteous person availeth much, or the prayer of a righteous person will be met. Sometimes we get out of whack here when we look at this verse that says God's gonna guarantee everything because I'm righteous. Like if I pray for this, I will get a new one. If I pray for a new guitar, I just get one. What does righteous mean? Matthew Henry says righteous is that if you're a righteous person, your thoughts must be fixed, your desires firm and ardent, our graces are in exercise when we pray in prayer. So we're praying in prayer and we're saying prayers and we're praying them for people. And he says when we're praying in prayer, we shall speed in prayer. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, says, "I want to be righteous. I want to see abundantly more than I feel. I want to feel more love and more zeal for God." Oh, so good. I want to feel more love and have more zeal for God. James Emery White, the author of this kind of series of FOMO, says that we should pray with prayer, or prayer as we pray. Pray for people. And who else should we pray for? Final couple of verses of James chapter 5. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins." He says, pray for people who have wandered. I bet you have one person you know who has wandered. I bet you are praying for a person who has wandered from this church. I bet you that person might be, has wandered away from the church, the Big C church. I bet you that person you're praying for might have even fell out of love with God. And James is asking us to pray for that person, that they would fall back in love with God, fall back in love with the church, Big C, and fall back in love with this church. And I bet each of you here know one person to whom you'd wish for them to come back to the truth. Notice, we don't win people back to the truth by saying, "Hey, didn't see you in church this Sunday. I was there, you went. I noticed you haven't been reading your Bible lately. It's getting a little dusty on the shelf. You didn't download your app. I didn't see you interacting there in the app. Or your auntie said you should go. You know, you're going to upset her. I know she's dead and everything, but that's what she said before she died." No, it's a wooing. A wooing. I fell in love with God. I remember, I would love for you to come back there with me. Oh, the church is a representation of Christ, and it's all of us with our faults and all together. And just come back. In fact, if you still love the church, come to our church. Sit next to me. I don't like the pastor either. Just we'll dig each other. Woo them back. Woo them back to a place and say, "Look, I'm praying for you. I know you've been going through some stuff, but I'm praying that you might come back and fall back in love with God." In fact, you might want to send them a note or a text or a DM that says, "God never leaves you nor forsake you." Amen? No matter what you're going through, God never leaves you nor forsakes you. Early on in my Christian walk, I come across that scripture in Thessalonians, when Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica in Greece. And in chapter 5, verse 17, he would say, "Pray without ceasing," or "never stop praying." And early on, I was like, how the heck am I going to do that? Like, every time I breathe, I'm going to like pray on and breathe in, I pray, and breathe out, I pray. And you know, what do you mean never stop praying? I wouldn't be able to talk to anybody. And as I've got older, I've realized that if I'm praying for a family member to be healed, if I'm praying for somebody at home that I've always wanted to be healed, or if I'm praying for some sort of sin I'm struggling with in my life, or somebody else who I've dearly want to come back to church, that's a constant prayer, right? I'm like constantly in prayer, constantly thinking about this person, constantly thinking about that one person to fall back into love with God. And I don't want you to miss out on your prayer life. I don't want you to miss out on praying to God for your family, for someone to be healed. I don't want you to miss out on praying that you would be freed from your sin and free from that thing that corrupts your life, the blockade that Richard Rohr talks about. And I don't want you to miss out on praying for that one person. I don't want you to miss out on the blessing, not the Toronto blessing, not the Tennessee blessing, but the blessing that you can know every day of praying to God. So today, we are going to pray. And you were given a card when you came in, a piece of paper. And if you didn't get that, just look in the pew in front of you. There's a card there. And we're going to pray together, but I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to pray to God. And you're going to write down three prayers on your card. Three specific areas, the same places that James talks about. The first one is about healing and sickness. Who is that one family member or friend that you would love to see healed? Pray for them. Who is that one family member? You don't have to write your name on top of the card, but put the person there who you would like to see healed. Maybe you don't have to like think about it because you know it immediately. I do. Who is that? That's your first prayer. The second prayer is yourself. Praying for yourself. What is the natural blockade that you put up? What sin or struggle do you have that you would like to see just go away? So the first one is prayer for your family member or friend who's sick. The second one is for yourself and the sin that you struggle with. And then the final one is the one person you'd like to see fall back in love with God, fall back in love with the church, big C, and fall back in love with this church. Who is that? You'd like to see them right here today, sitting with you in church, worshiping with you, digging you about how much you don't like the pastor. And when you've written them down on your card, we're going to bring them down the front and place them in the baskets. There's some baskets down the front here. There's going to be a table here, as Henry puts it, a table here with a basket on. The prayers are going to go away. The notes are going to go away between you and God. And by bringing them up here today to the altar, it's you giving over a sacrifice to God and saying, God, I want you to hear me here. Maybe pray them every day from now on for a week. But bring them up to the altar, put them in the basket, and give them up to God. You're welcome to spend some time at the kneelers, should you wish to, after you've put your note in the basket. Let's pray together. God, we lift up before you those family members we know that we want to have healing. We lift up to you our sins and the natural walls that we put up between you and our communication with you. And we lift up that one person who we'd love to see with us here today in love with you again. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen. Come, the altar's open.